T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I think we would all agree that voting is a privilege.
Absolutely.
It's a right. Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes when you move to a new place, you don't know where your voting place is if you just moved.
So how convenient should landlords make it for their tenants? Back in August of last year, the St. Paul City Council required landlords to supply voter registration information to new tenants when they leased a new place, again, upon signing a lease or occupancy. Failure to do so is considered a petty misdemeanor in St. Paul. Is this a case of compelled speech? That is what the Minnesota Voters Alliance and a handful of property owners are suing over, suing both St. Paul and Minneapolis for allegedly violating their First Amendment rights. With us to make some sense out of all of this is Andy Sillick. He's the executive director of the Minnesota Voters Alliance. Hey, Andy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate being on.
So why are you opposed to landlords giving tenants voter registration information?
Well, with this case, to us, is about where private citizens are forced to act as couriers for the ideology of the city government officials. That's a compelled speech, as you mentioned. But the view that encouraging people to vote is a good thing to do simply can't justify, in our view, the government's ability to compel law-abiding citizens to promote that view.
Andy, where does ideology come into this? Help me wrap my brain around why ideology? Aren't they just helping new tenants find out where to vote?
Well, that's a good question. Helping? Who's helping? The landlord. In this case, the landlords, I mean, I wouldn't call that helping. I mean, if they're required to do so, they have to do it.
Right.
But this would be like requiring radio personnel to have to carry around voter registration forms. I mean, I don't think you would appreciate having to do that.
Well, not really, because they're not moving into our radio studio. If somebody moves into your apartment that you own, you tell them where the recycling goes, you tell them where the garbage goes, you tell them on what day the garbage guys come so they can put things out.
Those are really good points. But in this case, distributing voter information has absolutely nothing to do with being a landlord, and that's a significant part of the lawsuit and the case law associated with it. But our view from a Minnesota Voters Alliance standpoint is one of election integrity. The auditor's report that came out last year showed that ineligible people are voting in the thousands. There's 26,000 people that failed one of the eligibility tests in 2016 that they still haven't been able to determine if they were eligible. So what we have here, especially in a sanctuary city where the city already encourages people to violate the law to come here, we have landlords that have to follow a policy that doesn't give them an allowance. They have to give voter registrations to everyone, even if they're ineligible or not.
But Andy, aren't those landlords renting to legal citizens?
No, I think they can rent to whoever they want to rent to. I don't think they have to be legal citizens. I don't know if that's a new law. I'm not aware of it.
Don't you, when you rent, and it's been a little while since I've rented an apartment, but don't you have to show
identification?
ID? I mean, you can't just come in with cash.
You don't have to show an ID to vote. I don't know why you'd have to show an ID to rent an apartment.
So they run a credit check.
So you oppose this, Andy, because you are saying that the landlords are being forced to share information that they might not want to share.
Well, absolutely. And think about the right to association argument. I mean, you and I, we have a right to associate with whoever we want, especially for political purposes. But consider this: a landlord may want to vote for candidates who don't favor rent control, as an example. Whereas a tenant would more than likely want to favor candidates who support rent control. So if you can see, there's a right to association argument here.
But the landlords are not required to tell them who to vote for. They're just required to tell them, this is your voting place. Have a good day.
Right. But I think and I can appreciate that. But that's not really the main point here is.
But that's exactly the main point, Andy. It's exactly the point.
No. Should you be forced to go out in a group of people and hand out information that you have no idea what their political affiliations are?
Doesn't matter.
Waste your time and money. It doesn't to you, but it does to us. And that's why we're in the middle of a lawsuit.
So Andy,
you're making it political, Andy, when in fact
it
is a right.
No, that's not true.
Hey, okay. Deep breath, everybody. Andy, is there legal precedent for what you're doing, your case?
We believe there is. I mean, there's case law that talks about compelled speech inside of a profession and outside of profession, both in the Fifth Circuit and the Eighth Circuit. So we think we're in a really good position here. And the city of St. Paul just came out and said that they're going to fight this. So they're going to stick up for the fundamental rights of all residents, whatever that means. So I think we might be on the way back to the U.S. Supreme Court like we did last year.
All right. Andy Sillick, Executive Director of the Minnesota Voters Alliance. Thanks for joining us, Andy.
Thank you very much.
One of our listeners says, Jor, your guest is absolutely right. It's up to the citizens to find out on their own where to vote. It's not the responsibility of a landlord.
That's fine, and they can go find out on their own. But having that information printed in, this is where the garbage is, these are the local churches. I mean, when you move into a place,
right.
Sometimes you get as a building owner, you know, sometimes you give residents a packet of information.
As a convenience.
This is the parking is. Here are the nearest train lines. If you're looking to commute to work, here's where the buses are. When you're a landlord, you would think that you would want people who live in your building to know the information about the neighborhood where they live. Here's the closest grocery store. Here's how you get on the highway. I mean, as a landlord, you'd want to have a nice relationship with your tenants. They are providing your livelihood. They are renting from your building. Saying, you know, this is where you vote shouldn't be a political thing. They're not telling them who to vote for. They're saying, this is what you do.
Jordana, everything is political now.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Everything. Even the weather. Has become political.
Unfortunate. That is unfortunate. And I hope people know that, or they ask the question. They say, you know, where are you?
To me, it seems like a convenience. It seems like a no-brainer. Yeah. Okay, where's the nearest grocery store? Check. Where's the nearest gas station? Check.
Right.
Where do I vote? Okay. Mm-hmm. But again, what happened to personal responsibility?
Of course, there's personal responsibility.
It takes you 10 seconds on Google.
There's
being
a good neighbor and a good landlord and saying, this is how you get around our city. This is what people here do. Here's the grocery. That's not required. Maybe they prefer Rainbow to Cub and you pointed them the Cub. Is that political? No, it's information.
I think it's the idea of mandating it, that you have to do this as a landlord. Something you could do right now on Google, it would take you 10 seconds to find out the nearest polling place. Why should the landlord have to do that? It's just one more requirement. Garrison Keillor, and I didn't agree with everything Garrison Keillor said, but he said Minnesota is the most over-engineered state in the nation. So many rules and regulations. So much fine print. And
I guess I just don't think it's that hard. It's just not that hard. Lori's in Northfield. Jump in here, love.
Hi, I'm in North Branch, Minnesota.
Oh, North Branch. Hello, Lori. Welcome.
Hi, North
Branch.
Hi, Lori.
I think that Andy guy is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He probably makes getting up on the wrong side of the bed political. And
yeah.
You guys are absolutely right. It's just information. And I it doesn't say, okay, you guys have this information. Even people that don't vote, well, thank you very much, recycle it if they don't vote. But it's just ridiculous. It's exactly what you guys are saying. This is where this is where that is. And you do have to give your license for renting.
To rent
they
a place.
They do a criminal background check. They do credit checks. They do everything.
So they're a citizen. Or they're legally there for the time when they're renting, because otherwise you can't rent an apartment. So this isn't about illegals voting. You have to be legally available to rent that apartment. So therefore.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes you do have to give them your license to make sure your name is on that little paper or whatever.
Lori, thanks for the call.
Lori. Jor, if you sell your house, do you provide the new owners with voting registration info?
I would if the government said, "Hey, by the way, leave a note." I'd be happy. No skin off my back.
Another person says it's a nice thing for the landlord to do, but it shouldn't be a law to nanny your tenants. It's not mandatory that they tell you where the—
You're not forcing them to vote. You're just saying, heads up, this is where you vote.
It's not mandatory that they tell you where the churches or nearest restaurants are.
None of it's mandatory. But this is voting. It is a right. Yes, it is a privilege.
And we wish the landlords would tell all their new tenants about our show from 3 to 6. We'd like to make that mandatory.
Even better.
Please, can you just listen from 3 to 6?
That's right. I would like to make that mandatory.
Even against your will. Just listen.
Steve, jump in. We have time for one call. Hi, sir.
I'm not sure about whether you should make it mandatory or not. But in this state, it is so easy to vote with the absentee and early voting and same-day registration, that if anybody is not voting, they either do not want to or they're too lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And in either case, I don't want to encourage those people to vote then because they probably don't have any idea of what's going on.
That's true.
Good point.
That's true. And they don't have to. These people don't have to. Thanks for the call, Steve. He makes a good point.
Thank you, Steve.
You don't have to. But when you're new to a neighborhood, all of the information that you can get about the neighborhood is beneficial. So no skin off your back. It just seems like another way to get people not to vote because they have different political views. You're the rentee, not the renter. It seems like a socioeconomic rift here. And why should the government be part of that by saying, oh, you don't have to. It's okay. Don't tell them.
Get off your butt and do your civic duty. Step up. Vote.
I like that.
It's a privilege and it's a right and it's a duty and everybody should.
It's also 421. Really? More snow?
Yeah. But wait, there's more.
Oh my gosh.
When we come back next on CCO.
In the last segment, we gave Scott from Oakdale, a caller, some homework. He said his kids live in Sacramento, and we were talking about the mandate to put solar panels on your house, and eventually it will lower the cost of your electric bills. And Scott said his kids live out in Sacramento, and yet they still receive a bill from, I guess, either the solar company or the electric company that would be equivalent to an electric bill. So we gave Scott some homework and said, Scott, find out what they're paying for and let us know. And boy, you're an excellent student, Scott. You get an A+ for timeliness because you have some answers for us, right, sir?
Hey, Scott.
Well, it's classic case of a parent or a boss, whichever, because I just turned around and facilitated that to my daughter. So she's really happy. I'm like, get on it. I'm going on the air. Get on it.
Yeah.
So she did. But I'll tell you, this is opening up an even bigger quagmire than I originally thought. So here's what she said. She said that if you don't have, if you don't finance when you build these homes or you're in an area where they're retrofitting your home, they want you to make up the difference with this summary invoice at the end of the month. I said, so how much are you guys having to pay for a panel? And they said that it's the average home needs about 20 panels per roof, and they're charging $2,000 a panel. Now, keep in mind, I used to negotiate with Siemens or Solar World or whoever it was, an annual contract for 70 and 75 watt panels, because we built the orange trailers along the side of the road that the traffic management sign. So most of those are solar powered. So those I was paying about $125 a panel. So if that's what California is charging these people out there, they are absolutely gouging them to death. So I've got her making sure that she's truly right with regards to the cost, because 2,000 times 20, I mean, you do the math, that is absolutely ridiculous, because I know the cost of these panels.
Mm-hmm.
They're about $125 to $150 a pop. So that is unbelievable, but it sounds like it's ultimately incentivizing you to get the full grid or you get billed a summary invoice at the end of each month.
Interesting.
That is some good recon that she did. Is she going to go back and say, hey, by the way, my dad knows how much they actually cost, so you need to give us a deal?
Yes, I told her. I said, get back on this now. So now she's even more mad at me. But that's I told her, I said, look, we might have some investigation here that can help you guys. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, if it's $2,000, that's really gouging.
It seems really high. Scott, yeah, is California turning this into a profit center? Shouldn't they be selling these at cost?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're definitely trying to profit off of them. I don't think there's any way that they're just trying to.
There's no way they cost $2,000 a pair.
Yeah, like I said, you know, when I negotiated those panels every year, they on the high side they were $150, and we tried to get them closer to between 99 and 100,
oof, yeah.
$125 bucks, but for about a 75 watt panel. So,
Scott, this was a great call, and I urge you to please be in touch with us and keep us posted on how that negotiation went, because I'm sensing a Scott v. State of California happening here.
Another
and
lawsuit.
His daughter coming out on the winning end of that lawsuit. Keep us posted, Scott.
We need to keep the attorneys busy.
Well, look.
The attorneys are just sitting around looking for stuff to do.
I mean, that's a huge markup, so I'm interested to hear the final.
It just doesn't make sense to me. Then again, very little does.
Yeah.
Foot of snow on the ground, Jor. We've had 22.6, 12 inches on the ground. So many years, so many winters. I feel more like a therapist.
Yeah.
Explaining to people, the storm went north. Or, no, this one went south. Or, hey, it's going to change to ice and snow. Too bad. So sad your dad. But
I'll still complain about it, though.
But
that's
this year,
kind of my thing.
It's just right. I mean, certainly since late January, we have been on the right side of the storm track, enough cold air, enough southern moisture, and it ain't done yet.
Yeah, great.
Nope.
Thanks, buddy.
And it looks like it's going to stay colder and snowier than average right through at least the first week, maybe the second week of March. If anybody asks, we've had 22.6 inches of snow so far this month. Last year, we had 3 inches in February. We got all our snow in April last year.
Yeah.
Remember that? You can't do anything in mid-April with with heavy snow.
I'm not a trained meteorologist, but I'll tell you this. About the 12th of March, you're going to see a warming spike.
I think you're right.
Because every year that I fly down to Arizona,
it warms up. Oh, the Dan Cook methodology.
I'm out of town about the 12th, and that'll be, it'll get warm right about then.
You're welcome. We should see 40s and 50s, and we will thank you profusely.
I call it the El Daño effect. So.
El Daño.
Yeah.
It's good.
You're welcome, Minnesota.
Oh, it's good. Well, go sooner, because I need it to warm up. Can you move up that trip?
I know. I don't think so.
Fourth snowiest February on record in the Twin Cities. If we get 4 inches of snow, which seems like a slam dunk this week, it may come as soon as Wednesday, it would be the snowiest. And it's been 6 degrees colder than average this month. It seems colder than that, but only 6 degrees. Yeah. If you look at the entire winter, according to the Weather Service and their heating degree days, we're running about 2% colder than average for the winter. Mm-hmm. We've spent 2% more heating our homes than a typical winter the last 30 years. If it helps, Las Vegas picked up a coating to an inch of snow yesterday.
Doesn't help.
Heaviest in 11 years.
Doesn't help.
Let's see. Rochester already set a record for the snowiest February, 21.8. The old record was 20.1. And I think every town, St. Cloud, Rochester, Brainerd, Duluth, with the exception of International Falls for some reason, not even close to a record. Central and southern Minnesota getting all the snow this month. And again, looks like 3 to 5 on Wednesday. And the models are printing out crazy amounts of snow for Saturday and Sunday. I hesitate even mentioning what the European is saying.
So don't.
8 inches.
Okay. And it's, look at the time.
8 inches.
It's 4:32 when we get back. It's President's Day. Who were the poorest presidents in the U.S.? Find out in Just It for
As
Inflation.
In no money? As
yeah,
in,
financially struggling.
Not lousiest presidents, no. But the poorest as in no money.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't always money and politics weren't always hand in hand. So a little nod to President's Day in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back. Happy President's Day. So this is a bizarre fact. 9 of the poorest presidents in U.S. history. They were worth less than $1 million adjusted for inflation. So it'd be like less than $1 million today, all of their assets. And that, I mean, I don't know that you'd be able to.
Those poor babies. How did they get along? I
mean, number 9, really? James Buchanan, 15th president. He was a congressman, a senator. Buchanan never had to provide for anyone else, as he was the only president who was never married.
Uh-huh.
Abraham Lincoln. I didn't know this about, Honest Abe. His other occupations were lawyer, general store owner, and rail splitter. And I thought as a lawyer, he would have done well. It was only after his election he decided, to become a lawyer, an occupation which set him on his political path. Andrew Johnson is number 7th. He was the 17th president. His political career continued its upward trajectory after he was put on Abraham Lincoln's ticket for re-election in 1864. He took office after Lincoln's assassination. Ulysses Grant, the 18th president, he was a general and he was a leather shop worker. Isn't that interesting? He returned to his true calling as in a leather shop when the Civil War broke out. Isn't that interesting?
I did not know that.
James?
Grant made a bunch of money after after the war. And then he became president and invested in some insurance company, and they soaked him. And so he lost all his money.
Wow.
And then he worked literally up to the day he died, he worked on his memoirs. And the sale of that made enough money to take care of his family for the rest
of
the day.
Really? Yeah, he was just working in a leather goods shop. That's what he loved to do. And working on his memoir, I guess.
And he was in the Army. I mean, that's
fascinating. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Fascinating. Oh, wait, hold on one sec. I'll get through some of the James Garfield, the 20th president, Chester Arthur, the 21st president. He was a school principal, an attorney, and a customs collector. Woodrow Wilson, he was a college professor and a governor. He taught at Princeton, but I guess it wasn't making anybody any money. Calvin Coolidge, number 2. And number 1 was Harry Truman. He was a farmer, a hat shop owner, and a judge. After his failed attempt at running a hat shop and left him deeply in debt, he later used contacts he made in the military to launch his career in politics. His finances were in such poor shape, the presidential salary was doubled while he was in office. Oh, gee, a little bit of abuse of power. But hey, I guess Truman needed the money.
Wait. They actually went to Washington, D.C. to serve the public?
No, they did.
And
yes,
not to pad their retirement accounts?
I don't know. Truman doubled his own salary in office.
Yeah, but still, well,
I
did not know that. Do you know how many push-ups handsome husband can do? How many push-ups can you do?
Yeah, I haven't done a push-up in a long. Well, actually, I do. We do those in yoga. They're called chaturangas. I can do a lot.
Assessing your heart attack risk may be as easy as counting the number of push-ups you do. Harvard researchers, Jordana, hoped to figure out if there was an easy way that doctors could assess cardiac risk, heart attack risk, heart disease risk in their patients. It turns out it may be as simple as just asking people
really?
To do push-ups.
It just isn't arm strength?
No, it's more than just arm strength. This is in the February 15th Journal of the American Medical Association, which I know you read cover to cover.
Coffee table
you
book.
Didn't get to it yet. Mm-hmm. Scientists followed 1,100 firefighters from 10 Indiana-based fire departments for a decade. When the firefighters would see their local doctors for a routine checkup, they were also checked for the number of push-ups they could complete.
Yeah, but they're firefighters. Sure, somebody wanted to watch them do push-ups.
Sure.
You had to go there.
Yeah, take your shirt off and do some push-ups for me right now.
Did they hose them down while
Mr.
they were doing
firefighter?
It? Sorry. I digress. Back to the JAMA study.
Yeah. Over the 10 years, the researchers reported noticing significantly fewer signs of heart disease among the firefighters who could complete a greater number of push-ups. Among the people who could complete more than 40 push-ups, 96% reduction in cardiovascular
40?
Disease.
That's a lot.
40 or more
That's
compared
a lot.
To those who could complete fewer than 10.
All right. I'll test myself tonight and let you know.
You should.
All right.
Can you do at least 40 push-ups?
I'll find out.
Your heart may be in better shape than you thought.
You know that iconic photo of the sailor kissing the woman on VJ Day at Times Square?
I do.
Yes. He passed away at the age of 95. George Mendoza, had a seizure and fell in an assisted living facility in Middletown, Rhode Island. His daughter told the Providence Journal he lived there with his wife for 70 years. He died Sunday, just 2 days short of his 96th birthday. And there is, a very famous story about him kissing that nurse. Her name was Greta Zimmer Friedman. She was a dental assistant at the time. Apparently, he kissed the woman mistakenly thinking she was a nurse because of her uniform. I did too. She came to represent the 342,000 women who served in the war as pilots, nurses, and more. She was just a random woman. There was a book after this called The Kissing Sailor, the mysterious photo that behind the photo, the mystery behind the photo that ended World War II. and it was just a random woman. He kissed her and then moved on from there.
Maybe he knew damn well that she was a dental hygienist.
I don't.
She had a good experience.
It's not such a mystery.
Had a dentist and wanted to thank her.
It's not such a mystery.
On behalf of, all right.
He did not marry that dental hygienist, but again, he has passed away today.
And their teeth brought them together.
I guess,
right?
Yeah. She had a good smile. Teeth.
Yeah. He flossed, and look what happened. Did you hear about this sixth grader in Florida arrested over the pledge?
Crazy.
A little bit of
crazy
fake news, a little bit of twisted
That's
news
crazy.
Here. This 11-year-old boy in Lakeland, Florida, who refused to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance. How did he end up in juvenile detention? Well, Polk County Public School spokesman Kyle Kennedy says that the sixth grader who disobeyed a substitute teacher's order to stand for the pledge was arrested not because he didn't say the pledge, but because he was, quote, becoming disruptive and refusing to follow repeated instructions by school staff and law enforcement.
Yeah, like stand when he wanted to sit. Mm-hmm.
The boy was arrested February 4th because of disruptive behavior, not just to refuse to stand for the pledge. Quote, students are not required to participate in the pledge of allegiance.
And apparently the sub didn't know that,
yeah,
that they're not required. So when she tried to require it, I guess the kid got pretty upset.
No!
How do you let Lori know you're in the mood to be, you know, amorous?
I push a button.
There you go. Someone created a $57.
Here's what I... Yeah.
There you go.
When she hears that...
Lori!
She goes nuts.
Pavlovian dog, yeah. Someone created a $57 button that lets your partner know you want sex.
What?
I cannot believe
a
this
button?
Is a thing. It's called Love Sync. It's a device that lets you, with the push of a button, silently and anonymously indicate, anonymously, like they don't know who it is,
anonymously?
Right?
Anonymously?
Let your partner know you're in the mood. There are buttons on either nightstand.
What, if you're too lazy just to speak up?
To say, like, come on, babe, let's get busy. Or maybe to give, you know, a squeeze somewhere. It's with consent, of course. You know, I mean, come on. Or maybe say,
how
hey,
hard is it?
Honey, I'm in the mood. Apparently, there is a button, and it's a $57. There's a Kickstarter for this. There's a button on his nightstand and a button on her nightstand, or hers and hers and his and his. I don't know, whatever your thing is. And you push that button, and then it's lit up, and it lets your partner know when they enter the room, oh, the button's lit up. And then they can push their button, and now you both know you're getting busy.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
That's usually some no, version senor! Of what I hear.
There is a 15-minute consensus window, by the way.
A consensus window?
Consensus.
Somebody
so
is thinking way too much about this.
Both buttons will glow green, knowing the other person is feeling a little randy. A consensus. Can you believe this is the world we live in? Just get it on, folks. Nobody ever went to their deathbed saying they had too much sex.
Yeah.
Get it on.
Get it on.
No button
All right.
necessary.
Write that down, everyone. This year's Oscars swag bags include cannabis, chocolates.
Really? Yeah.
You've heard about these swag bags that sometimes they're worth over $100,000.
You know, Mark's Vodka was in them one year.
Really?
Yeah.
Aviv was in there? That's cool. Well, it sounds like the Oscars may just be a gong show this year.
Oh, right.
Do they have a host?
No host?
There's no host.
And now they're not going to do the commercial ones. They're going to announce all of the things during the show. It's
I'm curious to tune in just to watch it go off the rails. Anyway, there will be chocolates infused
yes.
with THC.
Yes.
And they will be sent to nominees, including Glenn Close, Regina King, Melissa McCarthy.
Should make for interesting speeches.
They'll all have the munchies. I'd watch for that. All right, Jor, it is now 4:47 Wicks and Jewelers time. If you're looking to sell your Rolex or other high-end timepiece, turn to the trusted experts at Wicks and Jewelers just off 35W in Bloomington. Paul and Jor, a lot of snow in the forecast, but there's also some good news in the forecast. The Twins.
Yes.
Going to
yes,
be on summer, CCO Radio.
The Boys of Summer. Mm-hmm.
Sunday. First game.
Gosh, that's fast.
Corey
it is so freaking cold.
Well, it's above zero.
Okay.
Corey Heppala is broadcasting
from spring training.
And Mike Max is up to speed on everything going on down there. Obviously.
Well, yeah, I'm not down there, so it's hard to get a grasp on it when you're not down
wish
there.
You were, though.
Yeah, but why aren't you down there, Mike? I mean, really?
I make those calls, you know. I just do what I go where they want me to go.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I hear you.
Lots of good sports around here, too, to cover. But, you know, the Twins, they're trying to fix a couple guys, give them a little bit better. Austin Dio, that he's kind of this legendary cult figure, supposedly had a great round of batting practice today. He's kind of a fan favorite. And that's kind of where they're at. They need to fix some people within to get to be a good team again. They need Jose Barrios to be really good this year. He was good in parts last year and made the All-Star game. But it doesn't look like, you know, they're going to get a real blockbuster new player now at this point. And they lost Joe Mauer. So they're going to have to figure all that stuff out and hope that some guys have career years that haven't yet.
It sounds like you got a little cold over there.
I got just a little bit of a cold, just enough to nag me, to irritate me, to P.O. me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How'd you get that cold, Mike?
Well, my daughter missed 4 days last week.
Oh.
So whatever she had, I got just a little bit of, you know?
That happens.
Yeah.
Petri dish.
And it's just, you know, I work out, I feel good, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, I'm tired, you know? And then it moves around from your head to your throat to your ears, you know?
Could that be what's responsible for the state of the Wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, really. There's got to be something wrong there, right? Mike Montano was 4-0. Out there today. He was former North Star great, and they can't score enough goals, and no big secret. They can't score any goals. And St. Louis, who had Mike Yeo as the coach, the former Wild coach, fired him, and now they've been on a roll. They've won 10 straight, 3 straight shutouts. So the point Bruce Boudreau made today at practice was, if St. Louis can do it like that quickly, we can do it. We have as much talent as St. Louis does, and they probably do. So don't tell me we can't do it, because St. Louis has done it now. Mm-hmm. So now it's our turn to do everything. He's thrown everything he can at this team to try to get them into the playoffs.
We're getting some big names on this PGA Tour at the 3M Open.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Cook said Jason Day is the third top 15 player to commit to the tour. That's exciting. I mean, the bigger names we get, the better for us.
Right, and it's over the 4th of July, so there's been some conversation as to how many guys will partake in this. Mm-hmm. In the midst of their major schedule. So that's where Hollis Kavner and his group, they all try to, you align yourself with the right people, you try to trade in favors, try to do all those things so they'll make the stop here. Now, this year, if they can just get a few of them, you know, and then if it goes well, you hope that it will grow organically. Guys will say, hey, that's a good stop, all those things. Because a lot of these guys have never played in Minnesota before, really, except maybe the Ryder Cup or the PGA a few years ago. So they need to convince them that this is the place that they want to be over the 4th of July.
Well, let's find out. Do you think there's still going to be snow on the ground
Paul? There's the bigger question,
right.
Paul.
Well, I doubt it.
I don't know. I
can't
sure.
rule it out, but I doubt it.
Because this winter has just laid me flat. Maybe I'm a giant wimp, Mike. You don't.
I know, but it wears you out, doesn't it, Jordan? It wears you out. You get out one more time, you try to plug the meter, and you got to climb a snowbank to do it,
That's right.
It just wears you out.
Thanks for listening to me.
We're all going to get worn out by bracket fever here.
Yeah.
Next month, Final Four. Gophers had a nice win, big win over Indiana Saturday.
Yes, huge win.
What is it going to take for them to have a shot?
They're not far away now. Indiana is in right now, just to give you an idea, and they're way ahead of Indiana. Mm-hmm. So if they would beat Michigan on Thursday, it'd be pretty tough for them, I think, not to get in.
Wow.
When you look at the rest of the schedule. Michigan is a strange team because they're highly ranked, but they're very vulnerable. The Gophers almost beat them at Michigan. So they're a very beatable team, but they're highly ranked. So this is a really good, it's not a low-hanging fruit, but it's real doable. So this will be a big one for them on Thursday. But if they can win that, I think they'll have a tough time not getting in.
What else is on your show? Anything with snowmobiles, Mikey?
Oy.
I'm sorry, man.
Stop him from talking.
Tonight, we're going to have Jamal James in the studio tonight. He's a boxer. Big boxing fight coming to the Armory on Friday, and he's going to stop by in studio. Boom Boom Mancini, there's a good boxing name, right? He's going to be on by phone. Then we got Live Outdoors. Ron Sheriff's not sick because he's in Palm Springs.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, you go
and
save
because
your
it's
voice.
President's Day, I'm going to talk about my favorite president.
Well,
who's that?
Well, you find out tonight at 6:30.
That's a tease, my friend.
Okay.
Well
all right.
Played.
Yeah.
Well played. Feel better, love.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mikey.
With those cookies.
Little airborne, and gargle. Gargle a lot.
I know. I tell you what, the kids
don't kiss strange people too. That's write that down. Don't kiss strange people.
If they push the button on their side of
the
bed, and you're
I know. How does that button go? What is it?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Yeah. So it goes in your house.
Thank you, honey.
No, senor!
When we get back, we're going to bring back my favorite segment of the day. What is going on with co-ed sleepovers? Is this a thing for teenagers? I needed some parenting advice, and you came up big. We'll revisit that in the 5 o'clock hour. And do you want Minnesota to join the national emergency lawsuit against the border wall? That's coming up at 5:20. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.